But one of the most interesting events that we had, there was a record breaker in Tulsa, was Carol Channing and Hello Dolly in 1966. Tulsa Municipal Theater, used to be Convention Hall, and now is Brady Theater. And it was so dilapidated. It was built in 1915. Well, you can imagine after 50 years, it wasn't up to code, and the Artists Union had blackballed Municipal Theater many times. We had already put tickets on sale and had posters around. Carol Channing was coming to town. The newspapers and radio, everyone had been, oh, a big show coming. They sent an advance crew in after the tickets were on sale to look at the theater. And they called back to New York and they said, stop this sale. We cannot come in to this theater. You would not believe the treacherous steps that there are. The dressing rooms aren't up to par. I mean, it was an old, old theater in 1966. Anyway, I was devastated. I mean, the adrenaline flows when you've about half sold out the show at that point, and someone says, we can't come in. They went to David Merrick, who was the producer of Hello Dolly, and told him, Mr. Merrick, we cannot play Tulsa, Oklahoma. And he said, almost, quote, I'll be damned if we can't. We just got through playing Vietnam with a red curtain only. We can play Tulsa, Oklahoma, and we will. So we had Hello Dolly. We broke the record for any theatrical performance in Tulsa, Oklahoma at that time. It was a tremendous success, and I maintained a relationship with Carol and her husband, or husband then, Charles Lowe, over the years because of that particular occurrence. But we had other occasions, too. One time we had the Harlem Globetrotters in the convention center. KRMG had sponsored it. We had sold out one performance at 7:30 p.m. It was a Sunday, and it sold out immediately, which we promoted ourselves, the Globetrotters. But this was such an early sellout that we decided to put another one on sale. So we put a 2:30 ticket sale on for the Harlem Globetrotters. Both of them sold out. It was unbelievable. We were just a record setter again, one of the good moments. You have a lot of bad moments, too. But we got a call. They were in Amarillo with fog, and the bus may not be able to make it. That was the morning when they were supposed to be there at 2:30. Well, they did show up. They started the game about 45 minutes late. We explained to the audience what was going on. But that was another adrenaline rush right there with the Harlem Globetrotters.
Did Elvis appear in the 60s?
Elvis came in to Tulsa. 1956 was his first appearance. Then Elvis did his movies and went to Vegas. We had a very deep relationship with Concerts West at that time. Concerts West was the major rock and roll promoter for the entire United States. They had an arrangement that they made with Jerry Weintraub, a movie producer, to promote Elvis for live concerts, which he had never done for many, many years. Weintraub, through his connection with Tom Parker, Elvis's manager, took over the entire tour for Elvis Presley in the early 70s. We were involved locally here, as well as some other cities that Colonel Parker asked us to go into, for the ticket sales on Elvis Presley. Well, and they contracted with Concerts West and Jerry Weintraub. Concerts West had the expertise to go into all these cities. They'd been promoting shows for several years. And we had a very neat relationship with Concerts West. So they contacted us. We put the tickets on sale. Of course, it sold out with the first mention of Elvis Presley. In those days, we had tremendous lines, and we had crowd control problems. And Elvis was a real problem because of the number of people that wanted to go. He did sell out.
So that was 72.
They tried many different experiments of how to handle ticket sales because some people were getting injured pushing in some cities. Tulsa was always rather mundane, but other cities were getting out of hand. And these were adult women that were pushing and getting trampled. Colonel Parker, everybody was kind of fearful of him, but I just had a one-time contact with him. For some reason, I wasn't very intimidated with him, and he sensed that, and we really got to be, during the time that we were promoting, buddies where he'd call, hey, Carson, he'd always have his cigar in his mouth. Carson, how the sales going? And I'd say, well, hi, Colonel, they're going fine. we've got the last tickets we're mailing out today, etc. They asked us to go into two other cities and handle the sales for them, Mobile, Alabama and Jacksonville, Florida, because they wanted to try a new approach for ticket sales. And it didn't work, by the way. Instead of doing tickets on sale to the general public live, they wanted to try and do it totally by mail. Well, you talk about a mess. Now, we went and set them up in Mobile and Jacksonville. We came back to Tulsa, who was also on the tour. This was the second time around for Elvis. And in my mother's home here in Tulsa, we set up an entire separate office from Carson Attractions downtown. We had a crew of 8 to 10 of our ticket sellers that were experienced in filling orders. And the post office would deliver trays and trays of mail. They filled my mother's kitchen with these trays full of envelopes. And what happened was, it was disastrous. The mail did not work, because what happened is they just at random had to start opening and filling orders. It was a very involved process, because you had to log people's name. There was no computer. You had to log people's name. You had to write on their actual request, their seat location. You had to mail these back, and if they didn't send an envelope, you had to fill out an envelope and put postage on them, or send a notice, you owe us some more money for your postage. It was very involved. And then what happened? After one performance was sold out, they decided in Tulsa to do another performance. So Elvis did another performance, and they still had racks and racks of envelopes. They had to be opened, because there was money inside. Sometimes it was a money order, sometimes it was cash, usually a check. So these gals worked for like 2 months after Elvis was long gone. Elvis not only left the building, he'd left Tulsa, Oklahoma, and these gals still were working, opening envelopes and putting a printed notice in there that we're sorry we couldn't fill your order, and mailing them back. That was a very interesting experiment for ticket sales.
And that was the end of that experiment.
That was the end of that experiment. I went back to, of course, live ticket sales before Elvis passed away.
Here you are, a relatively young man, with Colonel Parker. Any other Colonel Parker stories? Did he come with Elvis?
Yes. Oh, yes. He was there, and he was always in advance of Elvis. My main involvement with Colonel Parker was at the arena when they set the show up several months in advance before it was ever known. No one knew about it. Everybody was sworn to secrecy. The day or two that he would spend here in Tulsa setting things up, and then on the phone regularly, like every other day before the show actually went on, we did just tremendous business, as you might imagine, with Elvis.
Did you meet Elvis?
Never did meet Elvis. But I did go back into his dressing room one time. He was drinking a Coca-Cola. I stood there. The individual with Concerts West that was handling the show went back and was doing something with Elvis, but I didn't really meet him at the time.
But you got to see the king.
Got to see the king.
In his dressing room.
Right. And it was amazing. They were short of some security people in front of the stage, so they asked a couple of us from Carson Attractions to go down and sit in front of the stage, because they had gals try and actually climb on the stage. So we sat there.
And that was in what we know as a convention center.
Actually, the first show was at the Assembly Center. The second show was at Mabee Center. Mabee Center had been built.
But you sold the tickets for it.
Yeah, we sold all the tickets for that.